our dear brothers in Christ, as we saw in the earlier lesson on the Compendium Rude of St. Gaspar, I would like to continue that theme now in this second reflection that I offer to you for your prayer and understanding. First of all, and on a very temporary, very personal note, when I entered the Stigmatine, as I said, I wanted to go to China. But Father Feeney, our American Superior General, sent me to school. Bishop Coretto came to us students in Rome in 1954 and said to us that if we came to Thailand, he promised us rice and paradise. So naturally, wanting to have been a missionary earlier, I signed up. I really wanted to go to Thailand and began. There was a little group of us who were present, that you may have known some of them, Father Wodarek, for example, whom you did know very well. So I really wanted to go to Thailand. But one day, Father Feeney, our American general, with whom I lived there at St. Agatha's in Rome, called me in and he said, the community would like you to do further studies in theology. To be most honest, I really wanted to go to the mission. But he asked me to do this, so I had the extraordinary fortune of teaching 28 years in Rome at the Angelicum. And in those many years, I taught many Filipinos. In fact, I gave a retreat at the Colegio Filipino, the Philippine College. Many priests and nuns from Indonesia, from India, and from Thailand. Not only stigmatines, I taught, for example, Father Peter Pakpum, but also many, many diocesan Thai priests and many sisters from Thailand. So, while I did not get my wish to go to the Far East, in some way I am fulfilling it now in my twilight years, late in life, going on 87 years. Well, in the first lecture we saw the purpose or the end of the congregation is to be an apostolic mission as an immolation in our service to the church through her bishops. Then we saw the modality of this is this total self-giving, making of our intellect and will an obsequium, an oblation to the mercy and to the word of God. You read about this in De Verbum 8, that we, to be a believer, you have to make an oblation of intellect and will. Then in Lumen Gentium 25, the order is reversed in our obedience to the Pope, that we obey him by will and intellect. The will comes first. And anyway, it's a modality of submission to the Church. The third quality here is poverty or gratuity of our apostolic ministries, not taking just the rich ones or those ministries that might enrich the congregation, but wherever the need is greater, wherever the requirements would ask more of the missionary is where we should go. Then we ended up with the immunity from all dignities and so on, that our job is to try to develop the mission wherever we may be sent. So the fifth quality of the apostolic missionary is the word quocumque, means to be ready to go anywhere in the diocese or in the world. So already if we looked at these first qualities of the Stigmatine apostolic missionary, we would find quicumque, which means each and every Stigmatine, not just the brothers, but the students and anyone, the novices, in some way, we're all involved in this apostolic ministry. Then quadcumque, which means any ministry of the Word of God whatsoever. By and large, we are committed to parish missions, to teaching the young and giving direction to priests and laity and also to religious. So this ministry to go anywhere is quocumque. So we have quicumque, quadcumque, quocumque, which means quicumque is a personnel abandonment. Everybody is involved in this thing. Quadcumque is a missionary abandonment, any ministry of the Word of God, and we're all asked to become really good at something. And the third one is a geographical abandonment anywhere. Like Abraham and like Moses did not know where they were going, but the Lord led them by the hand, and we deeply believe in our 200 years of life that the Stigmatines have been led to so many wonderful places like Thailand, like Indonesia, like the Philippines, and all of those wonderful places we are now serving. Well, then what are the means to do all of this? What means? This is called the modus, what's the manner? What kind of a mentality should we have? Well, what should we really do in order to do this? Well, there are two aspects of this from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 to 18. This is the law of progress. Attende tibi et doctrine. Attend to yourself and to learning. So this is then a law of progress, and ongoing formation would ask of all of us these qualities which we find in the original rule. First of all, each one's spiritual perfection. The first ministry, the first mission is to save our own souls. Secondly, perfection in ecclesiastical doctrines. One of the enormous risks we run as a community is to abandon this aspect because others can be more interesting or can be more challenging. We do need perfection in scripture, in systematics or dogma, in moral theology, in the fathers of the church. So all of these would be very welcome areas of perfection, also repeated many times by Pope John Paul II, to live a common life. They tell the story of St. John Berkman, who once said to his confessor that for him, vita communis maxima crux, that the common life was the heaviest cross. In some ways, that's true. But the other side of that coin is, how often are we not inspired by one another? We see someone among us or someone in the community who really inspires us, and that's what St. Gaspar and St. Ignatius and anyone who's ever been involved in religious life, we try to help one another. Charity begins at home. So the first mission after ourselves is our immediate neighbor, our fellow stigmatine. Then the perpetual exercise of obedience, chastity, and poverty. This is simply the juridical requirements for religious life. Then the program of living regarding food, clothing, and lodging. Well, that means we all live more or less the same. It's a kind of a poverty to be in harmony with the more observant clergy, because the diocesan priests whom we serve and from whom our founder came provide us many times with a marvelous example of commitment to the church and their obedience to their bishop. So we are then to imitate the more observant clergy among whom the missionaries live for the edification of the faithful, both regarding Christian simplicity and evangelical poverty. So it's not meant to be the easy life. Sometimes people may say to us, "Oh, you guys have an easy life. If that is so, why aren't there more among us, human nature being what it is?" It's not an easy life, but like St. Thomas always teaches in hope, it's a future good, difficult but possible. So then we finally come to corporate obedience. Now just above we noticed missionary obedience, and that was Ignatius's fourth vow. For you and for me, that's our obsequium to the bishop. We don't take a fourth vow. We have the regular vows of religious life, chastity, poverty, and obedience. But the Jesuits had a fourth vow, a special obedience to the Holy Father. They actually had a fifth vow, to teach catechism 1 hour a week for 40 weeks a year, which the Holy See did not allow. But it was always in St. Ignatius's rule, the importance of teaching ordered catechism. In my own student life, one of the first things we did, we used to teach catechism to the children in the nearby parishes, and then we had a series of time when we used to teach the prisoners, the convicts who were convicted of crimes in the state prison system of Massachusetts. So this is the corporate obedience that we follow the directions of the superior in whatever involves our religious life. This then brings us to part two, the word compendium. Now, we don't want to belabor this point or speak of it too much, but it's a very, very important term in theology, as I'll try to show. So the title of this section, Compendium Rude, as we saw, can be understood as a kind of a general introductory synthesis to his entire constitution. These first eight constitutions here are noted then as the principal elements of the 12 parts of the constitutions that follow. There are 12 separate parts, and the Compendium Rude in eight numbers gives us a generic but rather precise commentary of outline of what we're supposed to be. We've already seen that this compendium is something like Augustine's Enchiridion, this summary, this abbreviation of all of theology. Well, there's another one. The great Saint Bonaventure of the Franciscan school wrote a very profound spiritual thesis called Brevi Loquium. Brevi Loquium, or most likely the idea of summarizing spiritual theology. It's one of the classics of the Franciscan spirituality, or as we saw earlier, St. Thomas's Compendium Theologiae. These are all a kind of a synthesis of the subject matter being treated, and there follows then the brief consideration of every one of these things in the rules that, as they unfold. So the compendium is this summary. And this leads us to the way St. Augustine understood and explained his Enchiridion, which he called a handbook, meaning something that could fit into your hand. So even though St. Gaspar's constitutions are a very small booklet, in fact, I think in many of the provinces, two or three of the provinces, have provided a brief handbook of the English, Latin, Italian, or Portuguese constitutions. Well, in number 4 of St. Augustine's Enchiridion, he says this. This is his handbook of the faith. And he said, according to your letter, you have asked me to write a book to serve you as a handbook, as they call it, something that would always be within the reach of every one of you. And that's what this compendium is. It's a summary of what our life is meant to be. It's a little rule book or table of contents and so on. So all these things which you may ask about the faith, as Augustine said, we might ask about religious life, you will come to understand of what a man should believe and hope for and love. For Saint Augustine, for Saint Gaspar, this is the way he would like us to serve the church. This is our handbook. So the Enchiridion is something that begins in faith, works through love, through hope. And even though St. Augustine never finished that work completely, St. Gaspar had the idea that this is his understanding of the charism God gave to him. He communicates it to us in faith, through love of one another, the love of people trying to help us. We are led also to hope in eternal life in this way. This is the manner in which we will find eternal life as stigmatists. This is what we profess when we take our vows. This is the content of our corporate obedience and also our missionary obedience. Put in other words, this is the sum total of the teaching. So we think, I'd like to think, of this compendium rude in that sense, with the doctrine common to the stigmatines of whatever age or whatever level of formation, whether we're novices or postulants or aspirants or on this general council or provincial. All of these things apply to us. So he goes on to say, you have asked me for a handbook. And that is one of the ways we can look at this, which means a book you can carry by hand or one not to load into your bookcases, where there'll be one more of those books not read. What we want to do is impart an instruction that will be necessary, and then by living to translate this abbreviation into life. So the Bishop of Hippo, St. Augustine, was convinced that the Lord's Prayer summarizes our faith. The commandments summarize our morality, the creed, the articles of faith. So St. Ignatius tried to synthesize this mass of doctrine. If you look at the new catechism, made up of the four parts, the so-called creed and the sacraments and the commandments and then prayer, try to make a synthesis of this, and St. Gaspar did this with his outline in the Compendium Rude. It's our stigmatine manual. It is a summarized exposition. It is called to be a song of praise to honor the living God. For St. Bonaventure, this Brevi Loquium was then completed or developed in his famous Itinerarium Mentis in Deum, which means the journey of the human mind, according to the Franciscan system, toward God, an unfolding of the way life is supposed to be. For many, these two manageable, massive works massive, not because of their size, but because of the impact they have, represented the heart of the great doctors, the seraphic doctor, St. Bonaventure, his system of supernatural teaching. So while St. Gaspar Bertone is certainly not a doctor of the church, but he is offering us a way, a manner of following Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. This little booklet for you and for me is the truth and following the way of Jesus Christ to eternal life, whom Christ represents to us in his resurrection. It's a systematic approach on how to love God, how to believe in him without being overly long or overly complicated or involved. So this is what we have in the Compendium Lude. This is, asks for prayer and reflection and study that we might all have a deeper and better appreciation of this abbreviation of the Stigmatine Rule. We should add also a further comment on St. Thomas Aquinas in his Compendium Theologiae, which is one of his great, great works. Some of the modern scholars, like the French Dominican Father Tourelle, has been able to date fairly well the time in which the various works of St. Thomas were written. And he believed, Father Tourelle believed, that St. Thomas wrote the Compendium Lude 10 years before his death in 1274. So that means it was, remember, St. Thomas died at the age of 49, so he wrote this around the age of 39, and it does really fit into his, almost his last will and testament, which for St. Thomas perhaps was his Summa, or his commentaries on the Lord's Prayer. At any rate, the Compendium Theologiae is one of his fully mature works of the angelic doctor, and yet it was incomplete. And we do find the founder's constitutions there in the devotion to the espousals and the stigmata, which are so important in our stigmatine life. There is no mention at all of them in his constitutions. And we've had a number of committees, the early general chapters, formed a committee to complete the juridical part of the founder's constitutions, which were very scanty. But the main doctrine of faith and hope and love are there for us. They're for us to see and to ponder. So we can say that St. Thomas's work, the Compendium Lude, is something like a catechism. This is his synoptic gospel, responding to the self-emptying of the divine word, who not only became one of us, but was put to death for us, outpouring his blood through his sacred wounds, that you and I might follow this wonderful way of life called the Stigmatine Original Constitutions. This is the way St. Thomas abbreviated or synthesized the Gospels, and this is the way I believe that St. Gaspar Bertone synthesized the ideals of the Stigmatine life. St. Thomas, in his introduction to the Compendium Lude, introduction to the Compendium Theologiae, adds these lines which might be of help to us. First of all, the master of Catholic truth ought not only to teach the professant and the experts, but to help beginners, those of the rude, according to the apostle, as unto little ones in Christ, you give milk to drink, not meat. So you break up this way of life into portions depending on the age of maturity. No matter what age we are, the founder's constitutions as aspirants might be milk. But for us old men who have lived this life for 60 years, it's meat, solid meat, in which we are still being nourished at this late age in life. So St. Thomas says, I propose to treat in this book whatever belongs to the Christian religion. Well, I believe this is what the Compendium Lude does, not in complete sentences. It's like bullet lines to remind him of what was to be developed, as we'll say there were four editions in the founder's original writings, whereby this is clear. He wrote it four times and rearranged it, the order and so on. So the order as we now have it is what is important to us. So sometimes in theology we are weighed down by the multiplication of useless questions, all kinds of arguments. Many moral theologians today think it's impossible to teach moral theology like casuistry, because no matter what case one presents, someone else says, well, what if? So the founder is not trying to answer all the questions of life in this one document. nor in his rule. He wants us to be committed to the Gospels, to the prophecies, and to sacred scripture in its totality. So he said, in order to avoid any of such complications, St. Thomas says, we will try by God's help to present here briefly and clearly the sacred science. So I think this is how we could understand the Compendium Budae. This is, if the parallel holds, this is St. Gaspar Bertoni writing his Compendium Budae, the main headings of his precious booklet, The Original Constitutions, the outlines for achieving the holiness of an apostolic mission, missionary, not meant for himself, but to share that gift of God, go tell it on the mountain, to share this word of God anywhere and everywhere that we can. So St. Thomas goes on with a further development of his idea of compendium. Why did he write it? Well, he said Christ came, first of all, as the incarnate word, to restore man. Humanity was totally lost in sin. When St. Gaspar lived, there was a terrible division in the church. There were black cardinals and red cardinals. The black cardinals are those who were faithful to the Pope. When Napoleon had put the Pope, Pope Pius VI or VII, in prison. And the red cardinals were those who could go about in their paraphernalia, but they were loyal to Napoleon. So what Gaspar wants to do is to restore us as men of the church, to work for the church, to suffer with the church so that she might improve herself. And in the immensity of God, he wants every one of us to become small, to become little, so that blessed are the little ones, those who are open to the word of God. The wise Alex, the wise guys, you can't teach them anything. So St. Gaspar hoped that we would understand that the Stigmatines are the most minimal of all congregations. It's in this littleness that the Lord sees our need and reaches out to us in the guidance of the founder's words, and also reaches out to us in the teachings of the church, this ongoing magisterium that continually translates the word of God for all of us. So the purpose is then to know the truth and to set out for the right goal. So for Thomas, these are the brief resume of faith, and meaning that Christ, in his short prayer, the Our Father, clearly marks out man's correct course. He shows us the goal of our living and our striving. He summarizes all that human justice commands of us, and so on. Well, St. Gaspar Bertoni has done this in brief little chapels, brief little paragraphs by which we would follow and live out and read and study and pray the original constitutions. So the Compendium Theologiae is a compendium of the Summa Theologiae. So for St. Gaspar Bertoni, the Compendium Budae is our summary. This is how we read the Word of God. This is how we are asked to live the Word of God and to translate the incarnate Word through our Eucharistic banquet into the lives that we lead. So St. Thomas presents these ideals, which we can certainly understand in our Stigmatine life. First, know the truth. What is it that the Stigmatines want to do? We're no big community that runs all kinds of institutions and so on. We're meant to be like Martha and Mary, or maybe like the Blessed Mother, the spouse of Joseph, washing dishes, making wishes, just doing ordinary things. So to know the truth, what is it that we want to be as Stigmatines? Secondly, to pursue it, not to go after it half-heartedly or lackadaisically, but with a real energy of life, a real joie de vivre, as the French might tell us, to pursue this truth. Secondly, thirdly, to observe it. It is summarized in the one precept of charity. This is how we are led to love God, by giving our lives in the service of the Word, being nourished by the Eucharistic Word, and by translating the Word of the Lord into our life. So this is Father Bertoni in his Compendium Budae. It's a kind of a parallel of the Jesuits' formula. The Jesuits, when they got together to say, what are we going to do? They had a formula, runs 21 constitutions, which they then sent to the Holy See. The Holy See accepted and adapted and sent it back to them. That is like our Compendium Budae, placed at the head of the constitutions, that give an idea, what is the Jesuit supposed to be? Allow a hope is that as we read and pray the Compendium Mudé, we will see in it a preview of coming attractions, the main points that will follow in the 306 remaining original constitutions. God bless you and thank you for listening.